you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, tonight we got them. Goldie the Sulk and JC.
The chemical, disgusting,
and it starts right now.
Oh, the alarm sounded. Sounded. Welcome. There's Goldie from last week. This great instrumentation on his song for me, Till We Built the City.
Hey!
Welcome back to another episode of A Typical Disgusting Display, a podcast for writers by writers who hate writing. I got to say, guys, I've been listening to our podcast on my walks to and from work. Like, there's just some episodes that I never fully listened to, so I'm going back. And first of all, we're quite amusing. Goldie, you're very funny. You're making me laugh a lot. But also, and I'm sure everybody out there already knows this, but God, put us on 1.25 speed and we really sound like we know what we're talking about.
Yes.
It's just awesome.
Yeah, I know that Steve Callahan does 1.5.
Oh, that's great. That's insane. Steve, I don't like that.
Hearing that you're listening to the podcast now reminds me of about once or twice a year, I pull my wife aside and I say, just so you know, I'm back in the marriage.
First joke of the day.
And does she roll her eyes?
She thinks seems it's like kind of funny, but it makes her like a little bit sad, I think.
That it's even a joke between the two of you is sad, but it's very funny. Maybe I'll try that with Tal. That could be fun.
Yeah.
See, again, cut to my head rolling across the floor. Something else I wanted to talk about at the top today, and Goldie, we talked about this very briefly off air, but I don't know if you've heard this,
JC. Unfortunately, you were walking and not shitting.
I know,
shitting.
I was not shitting.
So, because now FaceTime has become like a
Russian roulette.
Yeah, like, am I going to get you mid-plop, you know, or are you going to have a gun in your mouth? When you pick up what you're going to be doing.
Oh, he plop, she plop, we plop. I was sad you missed me because I had a great one today. You would have caught a lot of action today.
Just called him.
Having iceberg.
Yeah, no, it was very nice this morning. But what I wanted to talk about was, and I don't know if you've heard this, JC, but they sent out this thing called the Webb Telescope. That's like this super powered, I guess they sent it out a few years ago, but now the images are coming back and it's like the best telescope anyone's ever sent up there. And so the pictures that we're getting back of like far reaches of space are now totally debunking the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, no.
Which I think is just like, it's of course this thing that we've been told our whole lives is an absolute truth and scientists have figured it out. This is the way it happened. And now they're seeing through various traits in some of the galaxies they're observing, they're like, oh, well, this couldn't have been part of the Big Bang Theory. So,
wow.
And it's funny because the Big Bang Theory was always this thing that felt to me like scientists' version of God.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was like, well, no, it's not God, but everything was dark And then it wasn't, because there was a great light and everything flew out from this one spot. And that's why we're here. And of course, now that they just take some simple pictures, they're like, guess what? That's not it.
Well,
yeah, so the universe isn't a giant popped zit.
Yeah, exactly. Which is exactly what they were trying to tell us forever.
What are they saying it is?
Well, now they don't even quite know. But basically what they saw was, with the Big Bang Theory, the theory that everything came from one point and shot outward, there was this expectation that all galaxies that had traveled further out would be like battle damaged. Like they would have, you know, kind of been hitting against so many other things over billions of years that they're kind of scarred and off kilter. But they observed all these, like, you know, smooth as a baby's bottom galaxies out there. And they're like, oh, wait, this does not fit with our plan at all.
What if there were two bangs far apart?
That could be.
Bunch of smaller bangs. Small bangs theory.
The many bangs theory.
Well, you know, I think I've told you before, I was an astrophysics major in college for a year. And then a guy who had won a Nobel Prize in physics told me I was an idiot. Switch to English.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Well, I'm glad, because that's probably why you ended up where you are. You could have been in some lab somewhere.
I was horrible at it. I would have been an unemployed astronomer going like, hey, you guys hear of any good like telescope gigs? Let me know. Can you guys read my telescope logs on my spec logs?
My journals?
Yeah, your telescope.
You know, I wanted, when you brought this up, to me it's interesting because, you know, we record this in advance. And so last night was Tuesday night. It was the election.
Yes.
And proof that no one knows anything on the galactic level.
Yes.
And also no one knows anything here on Earth.
Yeah.
Nope.
Because all we've been hearing about for the past year is this red wave and people are fed up and inflation and they're going to vote them out. And then, again, we're waiting to hear about the Senate. It looks like the House is probably Republican, but who knows? But it just didn't happen. And so, first of all, I want to become a pundit because there's no accountability. Like, you can just be totally wrong, and then you go on TV the next day and go, hey, looks like the pundits got it wrong, as though you're not one.
Right?
Like, you just suddenly go, I'm not of this thing. Like, hey, everyone, you know, was off on this thing, and the polls, and I watch Fox News when it's going well for my side.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because it's like listening to the losing team's talk radio.
Yeah, I love that. Jets talk
radio.
So
we both love listening to Lakers broadcast when they're bad, all this stuff. So Karl Rove came on and he said, well, you know, the pollings are wrong. I mean, how many people still have a landline in their house? They're polling people with landlines. Like that should be the first thing they say when they announce poll results is like, just so you know, this was done with fucking landlines. So this is a poll of people with landlines. It's like going, we got a portal to the past.
Right.
We went back to 1888 and held up a picture of Trump and a picture of Biden, and they pointed.
Right. It's that scientific.
We found that tribe in Brazil that isn't paying attention to any of this, and they live in the rainforest, and we sort of drew in the ground what a crude representation of what's going on and had them point. Like, how is this the first time hearing about it last night?
Right, the landlines. It doesn't even make sense.
It's crazy.
But I think, you know, fortunately, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit because it ties in. Talk about a Big Bang. Talk about a grand unifying theory. I think this all ties in with what's going on with Twitter and Elon Musk.
Yes.
Yeah. And that people thought Twitter was important. And people thought that this debate that was going on in Twitter indicated what is going on in the culture. And so, like, Elon Musk, who supposedly is this great entrepreneur, and he assessed that the value of this thing was $44 billion, and that instantly, the second he bought it, it was like he had bought this used car that just fell apart as he drove off the lot, and he can't return it. And the reason he thought it was so valuable is because he personally is addicted to Twitter, right? So it's like someone addicted to cough syrup deciding to buy Robitussin, and then once they own the company, realizing like, oh my God, maybe everyone's not as addicted to cough syrup as I am. So I'm going to just hike up the price of cough syrup. And it's like, Well, we can just have lozenges, man. Like, this cough syrup isn't that necessary. And I wanted to talk to you because you're the one who got me to join Twitter. I don't know if you remember that. But
yeah.
Do you remember why? Like, do you remember the pitch you gave me?
No. What did I say? Girls, girls, girls.
Well, that dollhouse is that's, yeah, that's,
it was never that for me. But no, it was because we used to have these text chains, and it was kind of me, you, John Viner, I think Seth MacFarlane was sometimes on there, and we would text each other jokes, and you said, hey, we can follow each other on here, and now not only can we see each other's jokes without getting a text, but like, there's an audience for this.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you can get these likes and everything, and that was very cool, and then we sort of met people, and we went to this thing called the Twitter Awards.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, and they had a screen above the Twitter Awards so you could live tweet the event. And so, of course, I think this was when we first realized the power of trolling.
Yes.
We just started tweeting on this board, like, these awards suck, hashtag awful. You
know? That was great.
And ruining it. And then that was sort of peak Twitter, where you go, we're making each other laugh. We're kind of being the class clowns. And then Trump came along.
Yeah.
And what it became was this thing that just, like, poked your amygdala directly and put you into fight or flight. And it turned from, like, fun into, like, you have to check this thing all the time to make sure this guy isn't going to launch an attack on North Korea and we're not all going to die.
Right. Yes.
And I think what we're seeing now is that everyone is tired of that. And I think that that it's become – the segment of people who want to, like, storm the Capitol has become so amplified. It's ultimately very small. And most people like or hate DeSantis – he actually does govern.
But he's a politician.
He governs in a traditional sense. He does.
He's a traditional Republican that we used to think we were the worst
kind. Right. And
kind,
so even the people I don't agree with, like Kemp, who are winning, are not fringe lunatics who are putting you in a fight or flight.
Right.
They're just sort of implementing policies I disagree with. And I think my grand unifying theory of the is hopefully we are getting back to just kind of, all right, we can coexist.
Like, so
it's gone from the maniac cousin who went to jail coming to Thanksgiving to the, like, sister you don't really get along with, but, like, let's do it for mom.
Right.
Yes, I would so much rather live in that world. Yeah. I still think the country could be unified by pizza. I think if the government gave out a free pizza on Saturday night, everyone would be happy. Everybody loves pizza.
That's true.
I think pizza is just okay.
Oh, no, I love this. Wow. The big debate.
You can get a salad.
I also think that an underrated theory is that when you go to a pizza place, they always have a million pizzas, and then they have one calzone behind plastic, and there's scricchetti on the plastic. The calzone, 90% of the time, is better than the pizza.
Oh.
Yeah, no one knows.
I like calzones.
I've never even had a calzone.
Oh, they're delicious.
Wow.
They're delicious.
I'm missing out.
Yeah, you gotta have a calzone.
Don't put yourself in a box here.
And JC, I was listening to one of our old episodes just from a few weeks ago. Have you watched that Jeremy Lin documentary yet?
I haven't.
Oh, God.
I should have done it last night.
You were such a bad Asian.
I really am. Sorry, everyone.
You should have heard you on that podcast. Oh, I have to watch. It's so important to me. Tears in my eyes. And what a moment.
It's
like a 30-minute documentary.
The documentary is called, isn't it called 38 Minutes?
No. I think it's called 38 in the Garden.
38 in the Garden.
Yeah, okay.
And it's 38 minutes. Anyway, JC going on was longer than the documentary itself.
Yeah, that's right.
And Alec going on right
and
then.
Now me going on about JC is now longer than the documentary itself.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right. Well, I think we fixed the world's problems there. Yes. Now let's create a few more for ourselves in a segment we call Johnny Jokes.
Why do we keep doing this? From his office in lovely kind of mid-Wilshire, a neighborhood no one cares about, here's Johnny!
That was awesome.
Nobody does care about this neighborhood. That is accurate. All right, and speaking of not caring, here are my jokes. California resident Dustin Porcita claims a flaming basketball that fell from the sky completely destroyed his home. Yeah. And Kyrie Irving has since apologized, saying that he was aiming for the Rosenbergs next door.
Oh, no.
Flaming basketball. How many times do you get that story? Not often.
Great. Good joke.
Thank you. Let me take it back with this one. Massachusetts Democrat Maura Healey has become the first ever openly lesbian governor in American history. Yeah, congratulations. Pundits see the appointment as a huge win for Subaru. Just combining those old things.
Yep.
Not a care in the world. No. All right, here's another questionable one. Harry Styles was asked in a recent interview what it was like to perform on-screen oral sex on co-star Florence Pugh. The singer replied, "That's her real name? I thought that's just what people were saying." Florence Pugh. And finally, ending on a very similar joke, Vocal Glenn. In a recent interview, Madonna revealed that she has become a collector of classic sports cars. Yeah. It hasn't been easy for the pop icon. Yeah, apparently she's had a lot of trouble getting anyone to squeegee her kuntash. Passing it on to Johnny,
you know, that was a good batch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Better than what's about to happen.
I doubt it.
Okay, well, during the Houston Astros World Series victory parade, a fan threw a beer and hit Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah, and fortunately, police were able to quickly identify the man and congratulate him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, last night was election night, and the Senate race in Georgia is still too close to call. And Herschel Walker went to bed not knowing if he was a senator, or if he paid for women's abortions, or where he lives, or even who he is. Okay. Inflation. Oh. Yeah. Inflation is hitting everywhere hard. The clothing store Old Navy is being forced to eliminate 5,000 of its in-store workers. The move will force customers to ignore themselves.
Yes.
And finally, you've already hit on it. Last week, Kyrie Irving posted a link to an anti-Semitic documentary on Twitter. And today, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and Kyrie reportedly held a very productive meeting where they said they exchanged ideas, and Silver now also hates Jews. Very persuasive. All right.
Those are good today. Poppy.
Very good.
Poppy,
I felt
funny.
Like my impression was dead on today.
Yeah.
In a way that it hasn't been.
Yes.
Whoa,
in the
you
pocket.
Brought it back.
In the pocket.
Good for you. All right, so today we're going to do something pretty fun. I mean, I'm kind of legitimately excited about this.
Me
so
too.
We had a longtime friend, a listener, who pointed out something to us because, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, that we've been going off the past few weeks about bad puns in marketing for TV shows. You know, take a shift, shift happens, you know, all that kind of stuff. So somebody sent in to us, and we had never heard of this, and that's part of what we're going to do today. Apparently, there is a show that currently exists on CBS right now called So Help Me Todd, which obviously falls squarely into our zone of annoyance with this kind of thing. So this listener helpfully pointed this out to us. So now we're going to do something interesting today. We had never heard of the show. That's right, guys, right? You never heard of
no.
this show?
No.
Okay.
Not only have I not heard of it.
Yeah.
you had to explain to me what CBS is.
See, that's how far removed we are from the Soul Process. So what we're
and
gonna...
I didn't know who you were.
Right. So this was a long phone call, folks.
Yes.
So what we're going to do today is the three of us are going to give our best guess as to what So Help Me Todd is. We are going to fill in the blanks based on the pun. We're firing blind. And then JC at the end of it will reveal via the internet what the show actually is. And then, of course, we have a few, at least I do, I have a few bonus pun name shows that we can pitch on.
One of the fun things about this is it didn't even occur to us. And I can almost guarantee the audience hasn't heard of it or watched it either.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe they will.
Although
now.
There may be some listening who are closely involved right. in making this show. And if you are, thank you for listening. But we're still going to give
congrats
this bit
on
a go.
Having an income, that's a good thing.
Yes, that's always a good thing. All right, so who would like to go first with their broad guess as to what So Help Me Todd might be?
I have a few guesses, so I thought we'd just bandy it about. I can start with one.
Yeah, bandy. Start bandying.
Okay, my first guess is that Todd's an angel. It's an angel show.
Yeah, mine's very similar.
That there's some supernatural thing. You know, I thought that maybe this was, in a sense, they tried to do a ripoff version of Maggie, who we had Maggie Mull on.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's Todd has this ability to, you know, zone in on situations and people don't realize it's because he's doing something supernatural.
Yeah. I'll go next because mine's kind of similar.
Yeah.
Mine was, it was like to replace the Good Place and Todd, who's like kind of an uptight, selfish, sort of practical, pragmatic guy, has a near-death experience.
Oh.
And the angels say, like, in order for you to move on, you have to help people, help me Todd, in order to go to the good place or something like that.
And then I would, as an executive, I would go, well, why don't the angels just help the people?
There's an angels workers strike. They're trying to unionize.
The angels are helping
The angels are now gig workers for God, waiting for surge pricing.
Because it also, Todd could be, because now that we're in the area of they're doing a poor man's version. I would say another area is it's a ripoff of The Good Doctor. Not a ripoff, homage.
Tip of the cap.
Todd is some sort of, you know, he's on the spectrum.
Like a savant.
He's gifted. He's a Dr. House and he's a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
And people come in each week with intractable problems that a normal psychologist can't handle.
Yeah.
And,
if
it's not supernatural, then he's plugged into a different way of thinking because his mind architecture works differently. And we delve into he can't solve his own problems. Somehow it's like, you know, that genre of show of like, she's a wedding photographer, but she's the last person he'd ever see get married.
Yeah. That sounds like a great show.
Oh, he's a baker, but he's got an allergy to gluten.
You've just pitched two great shows here. And please,
she runs a dating service, but she can't find a date herself.
Whoa, I'm laughing.
Because you can sell these ad infinite. I mean, I don't know anymore because I don't know what network TV does, but.
Yeah.
No, that sounds close to the mark. See, my guess now, and I'm leaning towards both of your opinions on this now. I confess I did not think of the supernatural element. So what I thought was because the phrase "so help me God" is when you take the oath on the Bible in court.
Ooh.
Oh.
So I thought maybe Todd is a judge.
Oh.
You know, maybe he's sort of a Northeastern educated judge who's found himself in a rural setting somewhere else in the country.
Yeah.
Why are you sniggering at that?
A judge, like, because you're so ham-handedly combining two genres of show, the sort of, you know, city slicker who has to go to the country.
Yeah.
But also just a legal procedural. So, like, why would a judge have to move? I mean, it's...
This judge had to move.
Cloudy.
Todd had to move. He had to get out. Well, I'm thinking of, like, do you remember the movie Doc Hollywood?
No.
I never saw it, but I heard
it. Okay, so it was Michael J. Fox. It's actually a pretty good, fun movie, but... It's an early 90s movie where he's a doctor who's headed for, I don't know, Chicago or LA to be a plastic surgeon. He's, you know, wants to make money and he's that kind of doctor. his car breaks down in a rural town, and he's there, and he's like a country doctor. So I don't know. I felt like So Help Me Todd would kind of incorporate something
they
like that.
They had a show like that about a doctor in a country. Rachel Bilson, starring Rachel Bilson. So there's that.
I do. I remember that. Yeah.
So you think it's sort of my cousin Vinny, but instead of the lawyer, he's the judge. And he's taking on wacky cases.
I think, although I did sort of waffle back and forth between thinking, is he a lawyer or is he a judge? Because a lawyer.
Well, most judges are lawyers.
Well, that's true.
But
It seems to me like a boots on the ground lawyer would have more opportunity to be involved in more stories necessarily than a judge somehow.
Right.
But I landed in the legal world because of the phrase "So help me God" when you have your hand on the Bible in court. But that was my best guess.
That's good.
So we're saying this is a drama, probably.
Okay.
Like a dramedy.
I'm guessing. Is that what we're saying? I mean, because it's a comedy,
it's an hour, right? It's an hour long.
Part of it could be. I'm going back to psychologist life coach.
Ooh.
That messy home life. You know, it's this life coach. It's So Help Me Todd. It's his wife saying, like, help me, Todd, right. Not them. Help me. Right. Help around out here, Todd. You know, and it's Todd's just outwardly helping everyone else. But
home.
He's not cutting it at home. He's learning to be a human being at home because maybe he's young and got married and had some capacity to help people.
Right.
But can't help himself.
Yeah.
Ooh.
One of my other only other guests.
Also, there's not even a shadow of a doubt Todd is white, correct?
No, Todd has to be white. Right.
Every Todd
is white except Todd Bridges. I know. Almost every Todd is white.
Because that eliminates certain genres in my mind of what this could be.
Of course. Yeah. Like cool.
That's a good point.
It's not going to be cool.
Yeah, he's not like, a disgraced former quarterback is going back to his old high school. Like, there's no way it's that.
No, no. Right. But my other guess, and it's kind of close, is a little closer to what you guys had, is that Todd is a priest or a reverend of some kind.
Yeah.
So help me, Todd. And again, it's like Doc Hollywood with a priest. He's like a priest who has this kind of new way of preaching the word, and he's conflicted and he's more modern, but he ends up in a traditional area where his style of preaching is not necessarily accepted.
He had to go home.
Sorry
to take
about
care
all
of his
those
mom.
Boys. But I'm Todd.
I'm here to help you.
I'm a new priest.
I like gals.
So I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in here.
Yeah, do it.
That this is going to take us in a completely different direction.
I'm excited.
Todd is an acronym for Total Overlord Data Division.
What? Oh, my God. Wait, I love the show.
And so this is kind of a Minority Report thing where Todd can compile from, like, every Ring camera and every online transaction to profile people, profile potential criminals. Maybe it's financial fraud.
Oh, this is so good.
In one sense, it's a crime show. So it's
–
in another sense, it's – used for personal relationships, that it can help you be a better person by, say, you want someone to fall in love with you. You consult Todd and you can get an accurate profile of their likes, their dislikes.
I would watch this show.
Tell us what it stands for again.
Total Overlord Data Division.
It's so good. It. And then there's a team of quirky humans.
A mixed ethnic race team of computer jockeys, of course. It's funny. That reminds me of, do you remember the mid-80s movie called Daryl?
No.
I remember the name, but
okay. So there was a movie called Daryl, and this is how geeky 80s I am. That is an acronym, which stands for Data Analyzing Robot Youth Life Form.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you're
Daryl. Like
Daryl.
No, life form is one word.
Sure, it is.
Daryl.
But it's like a reboot of that.
Yes. Music. So I love Todd because of its echoes of Daryl.
I would watch that show. Goldie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Chud.
Chud. Love that. You remember what that stands for?
No.
Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller.
Whoa.
Oh.
Love that. Oh, Chud.
Chud.
Which
Chud
reminds me
Nelson.
Of our friend Todd, ironically, when he got his baseball jacket that said Judd, which is still one of the funniest moments of my life. I will never stop laughing at my friend's misery.
So are there any other guesses? Or before we reveal, should we – then we said, let's each come up with titles for different series, because if So Help Me Todd works,
yeah,
maybe we can capitalize on this trend.
Well, let's button it up with what So Help Me Todd is,
okay,
and
okay,
then we'll go into our own okay little thing.
JC, so, this JC, is your moment.
Hit
okay
us with
my
it
moment. Okay, I'm on Wikipedia.
Yes.
So Help Me Todd,
yes,
is an American legal drama television series. And the series follows a talented but directionless private investigator who begrudgingly agrees to work at his overbearing mother's law firm.
Oh, God.
It's...
Wait, somebody else had the
so
mother
help
element.
Me, Todd. Yeah. Like, that's the tone of, you know, because it's the tone of how the title said
yeah
is the show.
No. So help me, Todd.
Todd. Yes, he's the black sheep of the family.
Of course.
He's a directionless private eye, so yeah.
Yeah, well, he better
as
get
as opposed to those just super motivated private
eyes. Sure, that you always hear about, like, Fletch, not Flatch, Fletch. Well, all right. Any actors in
yes
it that we've heard of?
It's Marsha Gay Harding.
Oh,
Harding,
sure,
sorry.
Sure, sure.
Skylar Astin.
Nope.
No.
Boy, yeah, good luck, CBS.
Yes.
Good luck. You may need a private eye to uncover.
It might be good.
Who greenlit this show?
I mean, they should have asked us because I feel like what we came up with.
Yeah, I love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking at the. But I'm looking at the website. We got a lot right. Todd
yeah
here is
yeah
white.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And Marcia Gay Harden must be the mom.
Yeah. Right.
Has to be.
And, yeah. And has Skylar Astin, I think he's pretty popular, just not in our
is
age
he
group.
An
I mean, the good news is from a network perspective, I'm reading the website and Todd is good at his job.
So oh, phew. Yeah. Phew. Okay.
His
but he's
crafty oh ability to sleuth out information with his charm and his wide-ranging tech savvy.
Right. So he has to yes be good at it, but just directionless so that you root for him to get
yeah
better. But he was in all the Pitch Perfect films.
I'm rooting for Todd.
Yeah.
Oh, he was Astin was in the Pitch Perfect movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was Jesse Swanson in the musical films Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
Oh, and mother and son working together is a big first step toward mending their fragile, dysfunctional relationship.
Yeah.
They see? Okay.
Yeah. It makes you root for a mother-son.
Yeah, that sounds
yeah,
like
no,
right
I'm rooting against that. So why don't we go through
sold
our titles?
Out of
we,
the room.
We each came up with titles because if this show works, then maybe the networks will buy anything
yes
based on a name.
Right.
Okay.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, so, do anyone want to start with
yeah
that?
Let me throw out my first one.
Okay.
Kiss of Beth.
Jesus.
Beth has been married 3 times, and they all died in mysterious and funny ways.
Already so, better.
So she's sworn off love until a tall, dark climatologist moves to town.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Standing ovation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll watch it.
Because I had till it. Beth do you part.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Love it.
Which is, wow. You know, is Beth some sort of murderer that yeah. preys on happy what? Couples?
But that's sort of the similar. Same. We're almost in the same.
Yeah, we're going to be in the Beth business.
Yeah.
Beth becomes us.
Oh, nice. I love
we
that
gotta,
movie.
We got to merge these ideas together. All right, so I'll go to my second one, which is kind of a drop off.
Okay.
Scott Potato. A down on his luck Idaho farmer has his life turned upside down when the big boys at Frito-Lay decide that he's their perfect spokesman. I was going to say instead of Frito-Lay, Utz. Just because it's fun here.
What's the phrase I'm missing that's Scott Potato?
Hot potato. Yeah. Okay. That's even funnier.
It took that long. Okay, so Kiss of Beth is still the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got, Goldie?
Well, I didn't know we were also coming up with a description, so I'll loosely, I thought I would just throw out a title and loosely say what I think it could
be. Sure, that's what I'm doing.
The Brian King.
Oh, I love that
title.
And
that's just like a hometown sitcom where, you know, maybe the guy washed out in the big city, but he comes back to where he was like Mr. Homecoming, the QB, and he's putting his life back together as the Brian King.
I love that title.
That's really good.
Such a great title.
Okay. Well, and then this is sort of, I think, a more specific, another take on the Brian King, Los Angeles. It's sort of the same idea. So this next one, it's sort of a modern take on gender, but it is a sitcom. It is fun. It is light on its feet.
Yeah.
I have 3 potential titles for it.
Oh, God. Hit me.
Mary, Mary, no longer Gary.
Oh, my God.
You instantly get what it is. Yeah. It could also be called Sharon is Karen. Or Cock or Daniel, ? A take on Cocker Spaniel.
Oh! Cocker Daniel. I love that. God.
But, you know, it's someone who transitions, and then they're, you know, in their new life, and it's everyone around them, family, friends, sort of, you know, rebuilding these relationships.
Yeah. Cocker Daniel, meet the new breed.
Oh, no.
So I have 2 more.
All right. I got a couple more, too.
Oh, good. Do one.
Yeah. Okay. So here's another one. If not now, Jen. 30-something NYC gal, Jen Cummings' life is turned upside down when she realizes that she's just a rebound girl.
Oh. Gold. We may own CBS.
I know.
By the time this is over. All right, so hit me with another one, Goldie.
Well, maybe this is sort of like that. It's called Denise You Could Do. And it's just like Denise owns her sexuality, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's like she's a modern gal, and there's no more slut shaming. It's Denise You Could Do. Like, she's open to any kind of sex. You know, and maybe maybe she goes back to a small town and she's sort of introducing people to like monogamy is no longer what's going on. And like you can be pansexual, you can do anything with your gender. And so it's like she'll give anyone a romp and then see where the relationship goes.
I love that.
That
is kind of similar to my next pitch, which is without a Tracy. Tracy Farewell knows how to protect her heart by leaving the minute she develops feelings. That credo is put to the test when a tall, dark climatologist moves to town. I think that's going to be the future of attractive men is tall, dark climatologists.
I don't think that could be a companion piece to my show, which is definitely for cable.
Yes, that's true.
It's called Wayne in the Ass.
What is it?
Is it? I think it's someone who realizes later in life that they're homosexual.
Yes, I love
that's
it.
Great.
And they're embracing it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And they're not going to be, you know, around walking on eggshells around their friends and family. They're going to go right at it.
Yes,
and say, I'm owning this new identity. Maybe I've been your dad, and I've kind of hidden who I am for too long. But now, fuck it. I'm weighing in the ass. Deal with it.
What a
the formerly soft-spoken, you know, middle managing accountant dad is now a leather daddy.
Yes. Awesome.
I love that. What a great title. Great title. All right. I got my next one is called Triumph of the Phil. A German history major and lifelong loser, Phil Rosenberg suddenly becomes popular after he decides he's going to adopt just the good traits of Hitler.
What? Wait, what's the title again?
Triumph of the Phil, which is a play on the Nazi propaganda film Triumph of the Will. His name could have been Will, I guess. I could have just kept it the same.
Any more?
I have one more.
Okay. JC is. Have you done? Do you
I had
do...
two. Well, oh, I have a bunch, but I'm only going to read two. Well, this one is so broad, but it's must be Weiss. So it's a family of siblings who own a law firm, and they all have to come back and work together.
Oh,
this is so help me, Todd. Come on.
But I also have
Must
another.
Be Weiss is better.
It is better, and because Weiss is a much more believable law firm name. Well done.
Thanks.
Must be. What else you got?
Well, I have another one that's almost similar to what I thought. So help me, Todd was going to be, which is Speak of the Neville.
These are great.
Which is a chronically selfish guy gets a spell put on him where when anyone speaks his name, he has to be there for them and won't get released until he's helped them.
Oh, this is great.
Bravo.
That's amazing. I mean, CBS, you have our number or our email, atypicaldisgustingdisplay@gmail.com. All right, I had one last one.
Okay, so do I.
Okay, I'll go and then you can close it out. Okay, this one's called Donald McRonald. Teased his whole life for his name's similarity to the iconic fast food clown, Donald McRonald decides to turn into the skid and open his own fast food restaurant in one of Ireland's oldest counties.
Oh,
good.
That's amazing.
Yes. Donald McRonald.
I mean, this is a come down from that, but it's Alec in the Family.
What?
Former Hollywood ladies man, writer, producer, forced to leave Los Angeles and move to Cape Cod with his psychic paramour and her daughter. And he now has to become Alec in the Family.
Oh,
I love
it. I think I can get the life rights.
Yeah. Yes, for a price. For a price. I love the psychic paramour.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
All right. That was very fun. So,
I feel like we just opened a network.
I know.
What would our network be called?
Name TV.
Yes. Name Pun TV. So thank you to our longtime listener who sent in So Help Me Todd, because that sparked this whole show. We appreciate it. And so thank you for doing that.
Yes.
Now let's slide into a segment we like to call Top 5.
Top 5.
Oh, there's us singing. And boy, do we have a category that Goldie loves. This was my category this week. And it is Top 5 Leave It All on the Field songs. So it's just songs that where the performer just sang the shit out of it and left their soul in the recording booth. So who would like to go?
Or live, right?
Or live.
Okay, good.
Sure. Sure. Or on stage. Okay. That's fine. Yes.
Okay.
I'll go last
because I have the top five.
Okay. Goldie, do you want to go first or should I go first?
I think you should go.
Okay. So my number five, and Goldie should have been able to predict this based on our relationship with Craig Kilborn. It's a song called Into the Night by Benny Mardones.
Of course.
An early 80s song. That guy, you never heard of him before or since. It was his one hit. I think he's passed away recently. But boy, did he was on level 10 from the beginning of the song. Awesome. Great one. Number four, a song called The Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd. And now it's not any of the members of Pink Floyd who are singing. It's a woman whose name I probably should have looked up. But she screams for the entire length of the song. And it can be a transcendent experience. If you're stoned and you listen to that song, your soul leaves your body. It's awesome.
Claire Torrey.
Claire Torrey. Thank you. Give her credit. They should make a statue for Torrey.
Yes.
Hey, everyone. Number three.
Now I'm just trying to think of a sitcom for Claire. Claire is a belle.
Wait, I have one. Hold on.
The Claire life, up there.
Life isn't Claire.
Oh, that's
but
good.
But I didn't
that's
have a
good.
Byline for it or anything. But.
All right. Number three is the cover of, and this is live, JC.
Okay.
The cover of With a Little Help from My Friends by Joe Cocker at Woodstock.
That's amazing. It's, yes.
That is, watch cool. that. It's crazy. That's a, yeah,
let I me got just interject.
Just thinking about
yeah, thank you.
Let me just interject E. Claire, MIT graduate and data scientist
yes.
Claire.
That
has
is
to bring her family's donut business into the modern age.
Oh, you did it. You got them. You got them both.
E-coli.
E-computers and E-Claire pastries. That was amazing.
That was
you
really
did,
good.
You did that in 15 seconds.
I can't turn my brain off now.
That's so good.
I don't want you to. Please don't. Number two is Whipping Post by the Allman Brothers. I think Greg Allman's soulful growl is one of the best voices in music, and I think he really bears it all on that one.
Nice.
Number one, this was the one I had marked down the minute I thought of this, Against All Odds by Phil Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's so good.
He leaves it all in the studio there. All right, Goldie. All right.
My list is so much more basic bitch than yours, so I apologize.
Who cares?
Yeah,
number five, Don't Stop Me Now.
Don't Stop
Queen.
Me
sure.
Now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Freddie.
Number four, Van Halen, Unchained.
Yes.
Ooh.
Just an adrenaline rush. Yeah. Number three, a song we've talked about on the podcast before, I Will Always Love You.
Yeah, that's great. Great choice.
Number two, I mean, there's a lot of Led Zeppelin that could be on there.
Ooh,
I picked
true.
Whole Lot of Love.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Unit Colin.
And number one, with a bullet.
Yeah.
Kokomo.
Oh, God damn it.
I can't believe we didn't see that coming.
Jesus Christ, we walked right into that. I was so excited. With a bullet, he says.
Okay, my number five is John Lennon and the Beatles singing Twist and Shout.
Oh, yeah. What a great choice.
Yes, why, thank you.
Yeah, he destroyed his throat for it.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, and was rewarded with enthusiasm at junior high dances everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Well, also that Ferris Bueller scene is one of the most joyous scenes
that's
in
true.
Cinema history. So
that's true.
Thank you.
Number four, Stevie Wonder on Sesame Street. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Singing Superstition. It's
wow.
It's a YouTubeable thing. It's nice.
I'm gonna run, not walk to my YouTube after this is over.
And then Whitney Houston singing the national anthem.
That's such a great choice. God, yeah. When Goldie said, I Will Always Love You, I was like, oh, and the national anthem too. That was,
yes.
That still brings a tear to my eye every time I watch it.
Yes,
so amazing.
I agree. It's gorgeous. Yeah. I didn't choose a particular song, but Queen at Live Aid, that entire performance was ridiculous.
Queen overlap.
Queen overlap.
And in a stadium of 100,000 people, they raised $1 million.
I know.
Everyone gave $10.
We did it, guys. World hunger is over.
And my number one is James Brown, live at the Apollo 1968. And I'm going to choose Please, Please, Please. But all of the songs were incredible.
Please, Please, Please is a great one.
Yes.
Very sweaty.
James and Went.
James. He's going. He's still going. James and Went.
James and Went.
With George Went and...
Kevin James.
There you go.
There we go. That's it. Kevin James.
Abandoned by her husband, James, a woman falls in love with a second James.
Oh.
And then the first James comes back.
Wow.
Oh.
This is so easy. It's so much easier to think of shows this way.
I know. We just need to do name puns in the title and we'll be billionaires.
Right.
Billionaires. All right. That was very fun.
Okay, top five for next week?
Yes, JC, give it to us.
Okay, let me know if we've done this already, but top five places to relax.
No, we haven't. I love that.
Okay.
I love that.
Very
That's
broad.
Good.
Are these broad. Like, you know, geographic locations, or you mean like a recliner?
So
you
could I do wrote, either, right? Yeah, I wrote could be like a favorite place or somewhere more personal. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's very broad.
Love that. That's great. That's the antidote to my basic bitch song choices. So now let's close the show, as we so often do, on a high note. Thank you, Tom and Max. And let's just point out, so Tom Gammel lives in the Altadena area of Los Angeles. And I will point out that yesterday in Altadena, the $2 billion lottery ticket was sold. So Tom has texted us this morning that he's going around to different dry cleaners and saying, can I get my jacket back? My lottery ticket was in there. Like, that's going to be his bit, which I thought was funny. Anyway, so let me start off with a high note this week. I'm going to put Tal Rabinowitz, my psychic paramour,
aww,
in the high note today, because we have, if you listen to the podcast or if you know me, we've had a lot of dogs for many years. And a couple of months ago, one of our dogs passed away, Chewy, RIP, sweetheart.
He gone!
She gone, she gone. But so now we have three left, and two of them are still quite old. So one of them, Dutchie, she was getting a little sick. She started to be able not to, you know, she couldn't walk. Mm. So it felt like, uh-oh, we're in the zone here. We're 24 hours, 48 hours away from Dutch passing away as well.
Yeah. Aww.
But Tal figured out all of these small little things to do, getting Dutch stick'em socks so she could walk easier, like helping, putting her up in the bedroom in a bed so she would be more comforted at night. And the result is that Dutch is back on her feet and spry as ever.
Yes.
So Tal really has a knack for elongating life, and I'm counting on that in the future. Yeah. So
you're going to be a head in a jar.
Thank you, Tal, for keeping Dutch alive and taking such great care of not only our daughter, but our other dogs as well.
Yay, that's nice.
I'll go.
Okay.
We just got rain. Yeah. In Los Angeles.
Yes.
And that it was great. So awesome. It was almost like it was fall. It was crisp.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brisk.
There was a guilt-free shower for once.
Yes. You know,
look, this shower was revenue neutral on the water supply.
Oh, yes.
I don't
have
to worry about it. Yeah. Like, today is okay. And it was just, even being out with my dog in the rain was just a pleasure.
Yep. Really nice.
So
that's awesome.
It was came out of nowhere. I hope we get more.
Yeah.
Yes, me too.
Mine is somewhat similar, is that after moving from New York to come here, it's never really that cold.
Right.
But it was, for me, it was really quite cold. I had the fire going at lunch, and it was just kind of like a nice, you know, I'm enjoying the cold weather.
Yeah, I love that too. And I could smell walking around the neighborhood that different people had fires going, which is such a nice smell. So way to go, LA.
Yes.
All right. Well, that was a very fun show.
Really,
I could
fun.
Do 20 shows like that where we come up with name puns for titles. I love that. We got to use that all
forever.
The time now. And please tune in next week, because we have an exciting guest who is going to be Mr. Mike Royce.
Yes.
Somehow we got him,
we got
Craig
him.
Would say.
Yes.
So I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank you two for being awesome.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you again next week.
Nope.
We won't. chemical, disgusting display.
That was fun.
And it stops right now.
In the pocket. In the pocket.